From Fort Worth, Texas, the Jesus Christ Said radio ministry is on the air. Our website, which has email and contact information along with past sermons, is www.jesuschristsaid.com. Now, with today's message about the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, here's evangelist David Perkins.
Thank you, Brother George. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, beginning in verse 24, Jesus Christ said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life?" The blood-red words of Jesus Christ from the Gospel of Matthew, the 16th chapter. Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father, may the words that I say be what you would have me say. May the eyes and the heart and the soul of some be opened to the power that is in your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, welcome to all of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Welcome. It's so good to talk to you, and some listen all over America and the world on the internet. We have some listeners in Africa. Welcome in the name of Jesus Christ to you all. Pat and I have been in Pennsylvania and Maryland visiting with our new grandbaby, Sophia Grace Perchinsky, born April 27th. She's 3 weeks old today. We got to visit with our daughter, Tricia, and her wonderful husband, and our son-in-law, Tim, and Tori and Sarah, the other granddaughters. Patrick and Katie came up from Patrick's Navy base in Maryland. We all had a grand old Thanksgiving dinner in the middle of May. I must admit, it's good to be back home, though. The blessings of God just keep coming to our family. My hope and prayer is that all of you listening are just as blessed. Today's Bible reading comes from the New Testament, the book of Acts, from the first chapter beginning in verse 3. The Bible says to them, now this is the apostles, "He presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father is fixed for his own authority or by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.' And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.'" That's our Bible reading for today from the book of Acts, chapter 1. May God's mercy be upon us all and his life shine in our hearts and in our souls. C.K. Chesterton said, "It's not that Christianity has been tried and found impossible. Christianity has been found difficult and therefore not tried." I want to say that again. It's not that Christianity has been tried and found impossible. Christianity has been found difficult and therefore not tried. That's a quote from C.K. Chesterton, who was a British writer in the late 19th and early 20th century. He also wrote this quote: "The whole modern world has divided itself into conservatives and progressives. The business of progressives is to go on making mistakes. The business of the conservatives is to prevent the mistakes from being corrected." But that has to do with politics. I want to repeat the original quote because today's sermon is about cross-pollination. Cross-pollination. Chesterton said, "It's not that Christianity has been tried and found impossible. Christianity has been found difficult and therefore not tried. It is a difficult road to follow Jesus Christ, that's for certain. And some followers of Christ who claim they are followers of Christ follow at a safe distance so they won't get, quote, crucified or tortured as Jesus Christ was. Or if they follow at a safe distance from Jesus Christ, then they won't have to hear what he has to say to them, what he says to us, to all of us. These followers of Jesus Christ that follow at a safe distance yet claim they are following in Jesus Christ's footsteps don't have to hear Jesus Christ say to them, love one another and love your neighbor as yourself and love your enemies. Now, love your enemies is a very difficult thing for us humans to do. It's hard to love someone that you want to hate so much. It's hard to love someone who looks and smells and acts and dresses differently from you. It's difficult for us to understand that God loves our enemies as much as God loves us. God loves our enemies as much as God loves us. We're all God's children. We all belong to God, the churched and the unchurched alike. God loves us all evenly. This is why we can't understand God's loving treatment of those who, to us, deserve the wrath of God to come down on them for their sins, and we fail to see our own sins. God is no more likely to punish our enemies than God is to punish us for our sins. It's even more difficult to love someone when you call them your enemy if they act or speak differently from you or and I and most others. It's far easier to make them your enemy and tell the world how sinful they are, and by the way, by extension, then how wonderful and clean and pious you are. It's far easier to keep those who don't look like you out of your church, the one that has your family in it, where most of the churchgoers, your friends, look and dress and talk and act like you. That's the easy way. Then Monday morning, you can go to work and brag about what a great Christian you are, how you love the Lord and love America, and how if anyone is not patriotic and loves America the way you do, well, then they can just go back where they came from. Even if where they and their parents and their grandparents came from were born right around the corner and you had to move there from a state 1,000 miles away, well, that doesn't make any difference because they love those illegal aliens as fellow human beings in any way. Who cares about them because they don't belong to the right political party? Wow. Is being a Christian hard or what? Now, this goes for black churches as well as white churches. Martin Luther King Jr. said we must face the fact that in America, the church is still the most segregated major institution in America. At 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, Martin Luther King Jr. continues, when we stand and sing and Christ has no east or west, we stand at the most segregated hour in this nation. This is tragic. Nobody of honesty can overlook this. Dr. King said this in 1963. And Pat and I have been to both so-called white and black churches, and I'm sorry to say that Dr. King's statement that the church is the most segregated major institution in America is still true today here in 2008. Now, why is this? Why is it that we still look at the color of skin rather than listen to what Jesus Christ said to love one another? If we truly follow Jesus Christ and we truly listen to what he said, then we won't be looking at the color or the sex or the accent or the political party or any of the other hundreds of other things that state our differences. We'll look at one another with the love that Jesus Christ commanded us to have in our hearts. And we'll share the church, and the church house doors will be open to all. No matter what your sex or color or nationality or class or race or no matter how much of money you seem to have. We as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, have got to reach out to Christians and non-Christians alike to bring them into our circle of being those who have heard the word of the Lord and who have decided to follow in the holy footsteps of Jesus Christ, no matter what the cost is, no matter how many hardships there are. As I said, today's sermon is about cross-pollination. Now, let me tell you what cross-pollination is. Let me explain it a little bit. It's where the pollen of one flower is transferred to another flower for pollination. Now, it's not just in the plant world. And Ralph D. Teledano, who died last year and was a political conservative that also was a scholar in jazz, said this. He said that jazz is fundamentally the cross-pollination of individual musicians playing together and against each other in small groups. So it doesn't have to be just the plant world. Cross-pollination is taking the pollen from one flower and putting it on the flower of another plant, so that plant can now grow into something different, something better. When we had this scare last year of the unexplained bee colony collapse, many economists were worried because bees pollinate so many of our food products that are grown in the fields of America, that wonderful bounty that God has given to this nation to feed everyone from the richest to the poorest of our citizens. No one in this country should go hungry, never at all. When a flower of one plant is cross-pollinated with the pollen of another flower, the pollinated flower has to grow to adulthood, leave its seed, and then that seed has to be grown to where it has fruit. Then and only then can we see if the cross-pollination has worked. So it is a time-consuming process to pollinate flowers. It is a time-consuming process to cross-pollinate humans into Christians. Jesus Christ, 2,000 years before our scientists knew about cross-pollination, knew about this process and told his followers about how cross-pollination would apply to following him. Jesus Christ asked his apostles in Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 through 20, he asked, "Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will know them by their fruits." Jesus Christ said, "You will know them by their fruits." That's Jesus Christ from Matthew chapter 7. And again in Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 43, Jesus Christ said, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks." In John chapter 12, verses 24, 25, and 26, Jesus Christ said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor." Jesus Christ from John, the 12th chapter. "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also." There we will be also if we are to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is telling us to follow him, and we must follow him closely enough to know what he is saying. We must keep our eye on Jesus Christ all the time, never taking our eye off of him, because when we begin to wander and look over at the world and all the distractions that are in the world, the glitz and the glamour, the beautiful people and the power and the wealth that the world seemingly has to offer, we lose sight of Jesus Christ. We are no longer guided by Jesus Christ. We no longer are following Jesus Christ, and the love of God is not at the core of our soul. All that the devil can offer us is only a mirage in the desert. That's what it is. It's just a mirage. There's a song of many, many, many years ago by the Sons of the Pioneers called "Cool Waters," and part of the lyrics go, "Keep a moving, Dan. Don't you listen to him, Dan. He's a devil, not a man, and he spreads the burning sand with water." And here's a little known, a little remembered Fort Worth anecdote about that song, Cool Waters, that coincides with this sermon. Yesterday's date was May 17th, 2008, and that is the 59th anniversary of the big flood in Fort Worth along the Trinity River, probably the biggest flood in the history of Fort Worth. If I remember right, somebody on either radio station KXOL or KFJZ kept playing Cool Waters. I don't know, be cruel or to keep us thirsty, I don't know, because the water pumping station had been flooded and we didn't have any fresh drinking water in Fort Worth for about 2 weeks. I was in elementary school. We had to boil all of our water to purify it. And to this day, I remember the awful taste of that boiled water. But back to the sermon. When we aren't close enough to Jesus Christ, even if we are following him, if we take our eye off of Jesus Christ, we begin to lose our way. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 14, verse 25, "And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.'" This is what Jesus Christ said to them that day 2,000 years ago and to us now in 21st century America. "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus Christ said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. Notice Peter was walking on the water. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" This is what we have to do. This is cross-pollination. We have to reach out immediately to others, no matter who they are, no matter why they are where they are, and offer our hand in the love that we've come to know in following Jesus Christ. So Peter took his eye off of Jesus Christ just for a second, and Peter began to notice the strong wind, and he became afraid, and that's when he began to sink. As long as we follow Jesus Christ and listen to what he tells us and does what he tells us, and we keep our eye on Jesus Christ, we will not sink into the morass of everyday life, into the hatreds and the wars and the divorce and the lies and the backstabbing deals that enrich our bank account while killing our soul. Pat and I have been watching a series that's run on public broadcasting television about the Jews in World War II and how the Germans exterminated them. And we were struck by the ordinariness of the Germans. They seemed just to be good folks, perhaps some even claiming to be Christians, to be followers of Jesus Christ. And there were still photos of some of them enjoying some time off in their wartime jobs, and they were drinking a little beer and dancing some. The only thing is, their wartime jobs were to kill as many Jews as possible as quickly and as efficiently as possible. Just ordinary people doing monstrous things, monstrous deeds. The Germans, by war's end, had exterminated 6 million Jews, just ordinary people. But they slaughtered 6 million men, women, and children, all children of God. This is the ordinary day in the life of a Christian who doesn't follow Jesus Christ, doesn't cross-pollinate the world with God's love, because God's love doesn't live in them to begin with. When Pat and I were up in Pennsylvania this past week to see our gorgeous baby granddaughter, Sophie, we drove through a town named Coatesville. And Pat glanced up hurriedly and saw a historic sign about somebody getting lynched there. And when we got back last Wednesday evening, I researched it a little and found out that in 1911, a black man named Zach Walker, was accused of killing a coal mine police officer. And he was kept in jail and chained to the iron bed there in jail. One day, a mob of over 1,000 white people, seemingly ordinary people, many of whom had no doubt, but were no doubt followers of Jesus Christ from Coatesville and surrounding areas, stormed the jail, took Mr. Walker out and burned him alive. The horror of it was that Mr. Walker escaped the flames, and the crowd pushed him back into the fire with their rakes. It's just ordinary people But not one spoke up to stop that madness. A year after the lynching or burning, as Pat and I call it, John J. Chapman, a poet, a dramatist, and a social critic of that time, came to Coatesville. He hired a hall there, and he held a memorial service for Mr. Walker. Only two people came. Two people. Mr. Chapman said in part, "As I read the newspaper accounts of the scene enacted here in Coatesville a year ago, I seem to get a glimpse into the unconscious soul of this country. I saw a seldom revealed picture of the American heart and of the American nature. I seem to be looking into the heart of the criminal, a cold thing, an awful thing. I said to myself, I shall forget this. We shall all forget it. But it will be there." And he ended his published speech with this: "The trouble has come down to us out of the past. The only reason slavery is wrong is that it is cruel and makes men cruel and leaves them cruel. Someone may say that you and I cannot repent because we did not do the act, but we are involved in it. We are still looking on. And I add, today in 21st century America, we are still looking on." You can find the entire story online at etymonline.com/cw/zach.htm. So this is what cross-pollination is. We can spread love or we can spread hatred. We can follow Jesus Christ closely, becoming as Christ-like as is humanly possible. Then by cross-pollinating ourselves with the love of Jesus Christ, we pollinate others who see our actions, who watch our love for one another, for our neighbor, for our enemy, who listen to our words at work, at play, at home, at church. They begin to carry away that love that we have inside us, which we must first have inside us to cross-pollinate anyone with the love of God. The love of Jesus Christ, the love of the Holy Spirit that lives inside us. Then they have that love inside them, and they begin to act like and to talk like and to feel like and to be like Jesus Christ. While in Pennsylvania, Pat and I, along with my daughter and her beautiful family, went to a Catholic Mass. The preacher, the father who was a missionary visiting that church, told us that a blessing should not be kept for oneself. Blessings from God must be shared, or they are not really blessings. Blessings from God must be shared, or they are not really blessings. Blessings must be passed on to others so they become blessed. A blessing passed on to others is a true blessing from God. A blessing kept to oneself is simply a selfish act of the devil. We must cross-pollinate the world and ourselves with the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said to love one another, love your neighbor as yourself, and love your enemies. The flower of the beauty of this world is the love of God. Pass it on. Let us pray. O God, Father in heaven, from whom comes the light of all the universe, be the guiding beacon for our nation. Give us the courage to be generous as a nation. Give us the eyes to see those in need and to help them through any means we can, as a nation, as a church, as an individual. O God, maker of all heaven and earth, be our light, and let the love of Jesus Christ, from which all humanity flows, come into our hearts. Give us the clarity of heart and soul to be good apostles following your Son, to be good citizens of this great nation that you and your generosity have given to us for safekeeping. We worship your goodness and your mercy and your generosity, and we fear your wrath. Give us the courage to follow the commandments of your loving Son, Jesus Christ, as he said for us to love one another and love your neighbor as yourself and love your enemies. Give us the strength to follow his truth, that love of God is stronger when giving of ourselves, both as citizens of a nation and stewards of a church. Give us the strength of character to be that light of Jesus Christ, that generosity of God here on earth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Hello to all of our shut-ins today at the Manor Care on Skyline Drive in Fort Worth, where Pat and I gave the interdenominational worship services this morning. And to all of our shut-ins joining us, no matter where you are, several of you listen to us on the internet. Thank you so much. You're a blessing to Pat and me. I want to thank all of you who have sent us offerings to keep our Jesus Christ Said radio ministry on the air. Without you and your support, it would be impossible for us to keep going. I don't know how to ask for money to continue our ministry, and I don't feel comfortable asking, but just if you can send your tax-deductible donation of any amount to the Jesus Christ Said radio ministry, Post Office Box 162712, Fort Worth, Texas 76161. If you have a favorite religious song you'd like me to close the program with, please let me know. Today's song is Just a Closer Walk with Thee, sung by Patsy Cline.
Just a closer walk with Thee.
I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. My plea,
just a closer walk,
daily walking close to
Thee.
Let it be,
just a closer walk,
dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er to Thy kingdom shore, to Thy shore.
Just a closer walk,
just a closer
walk.
Walk with
just a
Thee,
closer walk, just a closer walk, just a closer walk.
Granted, Jesus,
a closer walk,
is my
just
plea,
a closer walk, just a closer walk,
daily
just a closer walk,
walking
just a closer walk,
close to
just
Thee,
a closer walk with Thee.
Let it be,
just a closer walk,
dear Lord, let
just a closer walk with Thee.
Patsy Cline, just a closer walk with Thee. Please pray with me one more time. Heavenly Father, keep us all safe until we meet again. Keep watch over us and keep our hearts full of Jesus Christ's love. In His name I pray, amen. This is program number 819, titled Cross Pollination. If you'd like a copy of this program, please write to us at the Jesus Christ Said Ministry, Post Office Box 162712, Fort Worth, Texas 76161. Till next time, this is David Perkins saying so long. I'll see you in church, and be sure to love one another. That's what Jesus Christ said.
From Fort Worth, Texas, you've been listening to the Jesus Christ Said radio ministry. If you'd like to hear past sermons, please go to our website, www.jesuschristsaid.com. This is George Thomas saying, thank you for listening, and God bless you.